All right.
How are we doing today?
Good.
All right. Good, what's up?
When you drafted Edelman in 09, obviously he was making a position change from quarterback to receiver, but did you have a pretty good feeling right off the bat that he might be something as a receiver, or was that something that you'd been evolved a little bit since that time?
It's definitely evolved. But, you know, he had a productive rookie year. And then his second and third years, I think he caught less passes in those years than he caught in his first year. So, yeah, it's been a process.
Did he show right off the bat an understanding of the route running, or was that sort of like Stephen Neal type, you know, you got to start from ground zero here because he's never really done that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's better than Neal, but, yeah, it took a while.
I think 10 years ago there were 10 backs that weighed 240 pounds at least 100 carries. This year there were two. LeGarrette was one of them. Do you feel like with the emphasis on backs being able to catch passes and be well-rounded, you guys have kind of a distinct advantage because people aren't used to a back that big?
I don't know. But we can't control what's available, so... There were big backs there. Probably they'd be taken. I'm not really sure what the reason for that is.
Hey, Bill, in your experience as coach, when you get into a playoff game situation, have you ever come across a situation where a player who during the season played free and easy and aggressive because he all of a sudden in a playoff game was maybe afraid to make a mistake, that he played a little bit more timid? Have you ever come across that? And if you have, how do you... talk to the player just to get him back to normal?
Well, sometimes it's not evident until after the fact. So, but, I mean, in the end, I think you try to do what you've done to be successful to this point. Just everything's, the teams we play are better. Competition's higher. It's a little bit tougher.
Bill, Tom talked at length, I think, on the conference call yesterday about continuity of the offensive line this year and what a big difference it's made for him, for the running game, for the passing game. Just from your perspective, what has it been like to have that offensive line pretty much together without a lot of having to switch people around in different positions?
Yeah, that's where you want to be on everything, every position. So try to get the players there. Best players in there doing it on as consistent a basis as you can get it. That's the idea everywhere.
Is that as big a reason as any for their success this year, you would say?
And I don't know, because we can't compare it. If we had it the other way, then we wouldn't be able to compare it to this, so I don't know.
Bill, yesterday Dante said that Texans use their tight ends in some unique ways. I just wonder if you could characterize how maybe the variety of ways in which those guys are used.
Well, I mean, they play through all three guys, and they use an offensive lineman as a tight end. They use a jumbo tight end, so they really have four players playing that position. And they use all 11 personnel, so a lot of times only one tight end in the game. So they... they're all productive. I mean, they've had a couple injuries there where they haven't all been available, but when they all have been available, they've all played. They use all of them. They've also used, as I said, a jumbo tight end, both in 11 personnel and also in some 12 and 22. So, yeah, a lot of different looks at that spot. Got to know the skills of that player. But they do a good job of keeping you off balance. They have good depth at the tight end position. They have good depth at the running back position, where they've used all three guys there productively. So, that's just who they are.
Bill, they, in the first game, lined up in the pistol. It seems a fair amount, if memory serves. And we've seen the Wildcat occasionally from them, too, the last couple of years. From that game on, in week three, have they continued to run the pistol?
Yeah, that was something that they hadn't done a lot of. They did it in our game. I think they did it for a particular reason. They were trying to, I think we have an idea of what they're trying to get out of it. So, so we'll see. They're a good game plan team. Billy and George and their staff do a good job of game planning, changing things up, try to do things that make it hard on their opponents, so hard on us. So, I'm sure whatever they do, they'll have a good reason for doing it. It'll probably be something that we'll have to make some kind of adjustment to or give us some kind of a problem. It doesn't have to be earth-shattering, but it's just something that you have to deal with. And I think that's what we saw in the first game. I'm sure we'll see some elements of that again Saturday, whether it's that or something else, but we'll see something.
Bill, when you watch the film, what do you see from Vince Wilfork at this stage in his career?
You know, Vince has been consistent. I mean, all the things we've seen before, it's still pretty much the same guy.
Bill, when you have a team that has a problem with injuries during the course of the year, one of the maybe side benefits is that a lot of players further down the roster and wouldn't play get an opportunity to. This year you guys have been fortunate in a lot of ways where there haven't been a lot of guys in and out of the lineup. Is it important to underscore to guys further down the roster that you could be a play away in the most important games of the year?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's every player that's on our roster, including the practice squad players. And we've had guys on injury reserve, like Jacoby, who wasn't on the roster but could come back to the roster and did. Absolutely. Those guys are all important, and their role in their development is critical. So, yeah, they've been told that plenty of times. And we spent a lot of time with those players.
Even in making sure they get practice reps as we go along here.
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't know when, you never know which guy or when it's going to be. We can go back and look at a lot of examples of players who have impacted our team that were in that role. So, yeah, absolutely. That's talked about that ad nauseum. I'm sure they're sick of hearing about it, but it's the truth.
Well, for a guy like Deron, whose snaps kind of vary week to week, how early in the week do you kind of notify him that this might be a big week for you or this might be a slightly scaled down week?
Well, that's a tough question because we can't control what they do. So what might look like it's one thing on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday might be a whole other thing on Sunday for a combination of reasons. Could be what they do, what we do, or there could be a circumstance in the game, an injury or something like that that could change things, the first play. So we've all seen that plenty of times. So everybody should be prepared to play 60 minutes every week. That's everybody's job, and it's every coach's job. Be ready to coach from the first snap to the final whistle. Whatever plays, situations come up in between, that's all of our responsibilities. So Deron does a great job of that. We have a lot of players that do a great job of that. And when they're called on, they need to be ready to step in. We can't control that. You can control a little bit on offense, I would say, but, defensively, when you have to match personnel groups, things like that, but even on offense, it could look like it's one type of game, and then you get into the game, and it turns into something else. So we've all been there before. I think that's why everybody has to be prepared to go 60 minutes every week, period.
Well, Don Miller got 31 carries last week. I'm guessing that he's going to be featured to some high extent in this game, especially early. How important is Alan Branch, and how pleased are you with the arc of his season improvement?
Yeah, Allen's had a good year, but again, stopping any running back, especially a good one like Miller, is going to be team defense. There's no one guy that can stop the running game, so everybody's going to have to do a good job. He has great vision, can find space. Tackling's important. He's a hard guy to get down, but he can run outside, he can run inside, he cuts back, can catch a ball in a passing game. So we're just going to have to play good team defense. There's no, you can't stop him with one guy.
You mentioned earlier this week that Clowney's usually lined up on the defensive right. Is Merciless always opposite there, or it looks like maybe every once in a while they'll move him around?
Yeah. Well, again, when they're in their base defense, which they have kind of two base defenses, a 4-3 and a 3-4. But some of that is flipped by the tight end. So where the tight end's located or where the strength is, then they have a strong side and a weak side. If they're not in a lot of base defense, if they're in a lot of nickel defense, then Clowney's primarily on our left. Not always, but most of the time. When they're in their base defense, then it depends on what front they're in, and it depends on where you put the tight end. So, and that can affect Clowney, and it certainly affects Merciless in their base defense because he's a linebacker in their base defense. He's not a defensive lineman. Now, they move around and sub anyway. You know, they play, you know, between McKinney, Cushing, and, you know, they're down guys. They have different alignments for those guys, and I don't want to say they're interchangeable, but, you know, they move around. You know, they have them in different locations, so. I'd say everybody will get a shot at Clowney for sure, well, and really Merciless because he's on the nose in their sub packages. So I'd say probably everybody will get a shot at everybody before it's over.
What do you see from Ryan Griffith? He seems to be somewhere who has a knack of getting open.
Yeah, he's done a good job for him. He's made some good catches in critical situations, two-minute third down, red area. You know, they've gone to him in a couple of key situations, which tells you they are, you know, either trying to get him the ball or have a lot of confidence in him, or both, however you want to look at it. So he's been productive for him, really pretty much in every game in the passing game, you know, both down the field and on short to intermediate type routes. He has a good route tree, and yeah, he's definitely involved and been, you know, one of their primary targets. You know, more so than earlier in the year where the tight ends were, you know, getting fewer balls. Now they lost a couple of receivers, and they lost Miller and lost Strong, but it seems like the tight ends have gotten, including Anderson and Fedorowicz, that those guys have just, their targets have gone up over the course of the year. They've been getting the tight ends more involved in the passing game.
Has the end position in 3-4 evolved at all? It seems like it could be trending slightly smaller than it was 10, 15 years ago.
Well, I think you're seeing less base defense than you saw. There's no question. You're seeing a lot less base defense. So, you know, when you have a 3-4, then you really have two options with the ends. You can do kind of what Pittsburgh does and move them inside and play your outside linebackers as defensive ends and sub, which, you know, right now sub is, you know, over 60% of the league. So, or you can, if you have the right guy, you can take an undersized five technique and move him out. Like, say a guy like Chris Long or, you know, Clowney probably fall into that category. Not that he's undersized, but, like, relative to Watt, he's undersized. So those are your choices. So if the guy's a little bit of a lighter five technique, then you move him outside and sub. If he's a little bigger five technique, then you move him in. Again, I'd say for the most part, those guys usually get moved inside as opposed to getting moved out, and the outside linebackers are really the ends in the sub looks for the most part. But if you have a unique guy or a special guy, then that would be a way to handle it.
What allows Chris Long to be able to play that five technique role?
Well, I mean, that's what he is. I mean, that's what he is. You know, so you got to be strong enough to handle. The five technique. Unless you play on the weak side all the time, which he'll, you know, use two tight ends or flip the tight end, and you have to deal with it anyway. But, you know, some teams will play five technique. You know, the tight end side five technique is a bigger guy, and an open side five technique who's, you know, probably a little lighter, a little more athletic, faster guy, that kind of thing. You know, get them both on the field if that's what they want to do. If they can't move that guy or they don't want to move that guy to outside linebacker. Those guys can play outside linebacker in a running game. It's really not a problem. The problem's in a passing game. If you have a defensive end playing outside linebacker, then it's probably going to limit some of the things that you can do.
Phil, on a playoff game, given the obvious urgency of the situation, when you're making strategic calls early in a game, do you have to consider the do-or-die situation and say, well, I can't stick with something I really wanted to do in this game, and if it's not working, in other words, is there more urgency to maybe make a change if something's not working, especially early in the game, offensively, defensively, whatever?
I mean, every game's a do-or-die situation. I mean, there's no gimmies in this league. I mean, maybe in the last game of the year, occasionally you might get a game that, you know, doesn't really affect the standings, but it's the fourth game of the year, it's sixth game of the year, 10th game of the year. I mean, I don't think you're going to go out there and consciously make a bad decision because it's the 10th game of the year. It's not a playoff game. You're trying to make a good decision in that situation, just like you're trying to make one now. You know, it's different than preseason. That's a whole, you know, forget that. But, you know, once you get into the regular season, I'm not saying that regular season is the same as the postseason. It's not. But as far as decision making, I mean, you always try to make good decisions. But when you get into the postseason, it's you know, it changes a little bit. Yeah, it changes a little bit. I mean, it's a one-game season, so whatever you think your best thing is, I mean, that's probably what you want to do. Whatever that is, it might, you know, could go either way as to whether that's the go for it, not go for it, the blitz, not blitz, to rush, to return, whatever. But whatever you think your best thing is, I think you probably, that's what your choice would be at this point.
But when you guys play Devin and Durham together, how important is Pat Chung's versatility? It seemed like in that week three game, he had a lot of responsibility covering the slots, sometimes covering tight ends. Just when you have that three safety look, how important is Chung's ability to cover?
It gives us the ability to do it. Yeah. Without him, then you're not really, you know, you'd have to do it differently, let's put it that way. So, yeah, those three guys have a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of value to all three of those players, what they can do and how they, you know, mix together. They're not all the same, but they can do enough things that they're somewhat interchangeable. They're smart. They work well with each other. They have a good chemistry and good system of communication and ability to make adjustments and, you know, trade off where they need to trade off, things like that. So it's they're all three valuable. They're all three critical. Pat has a lot of position flexibility. You know, Devin has a lot of position flexibility in terms of the fact that he's played corner at a high level. We don't use him in that situation a lot, but there are times when it comes up, and it's certainly handy to be able to put him into those type of situations, you know, extended tight ends or extended backs or things like that, or it could be an extended receiver in certain situations that, you know that he can do that. So it, you know, it takes away some of the, if you didn't have that, you'd have to figure something else out that just, you know, starts the wheel spinning faster for everybody else. So it's nice to have the, be able to have those matchups. But it's, yeah, they're all important. But Pat does a great job in the multiple roles that he fills between safety, nickelback, linebacker, if you will. It's a lot, you know. Plus, I mean, and all three of those guys play in the kicking game too. So they're, you know, they're not only defensive players, but, you know, when they go home at night and prepare for the game, there's significant roles for them in the kicking game as well. So it's, you know, they have a lot of, bring a lot of value to our team.
Is Chung's versatility rare for a player in that position these days?
Well, I mean, there's, you know, there's a lot of players that are versatile, but I mean, to be able to do it at the level that, you know, he's done it at pretty consistently. I mean, we've seen a lot of good tight ends. I mean, he's out there against, you know, pretty good guys every week, you know, not to mention practice. So, you know, to be able to play at that level without, you know, having to help the guy on every play, I mean, that's, yeah. Now, I would say the versatility is as big of a deal as it is the high level of versatility. You know, there's a lot of guys that can go out there and, you know, take up space, but they really can't perform against that level of competition the way you need it and, you know, make some of the tackles that he's made. Make some of the tackles that Devin's made against some, you know, premier receivers, premier backs in space, in a one-on-one situations. I mean, those are, they don't look like big plays in the stat sheet, but they're huge plays. So,
question. Deion Lewis has had a pretty significant amount of carries kind of finishing the season. So I wondered, you know, to what degree, what element he brings to the offense, being able to run between the tackles, particularly as sort of a littler running back, smaller running back.
Just another productive player for us on offense, you know, another good skill player. So, we won a lot of games without him. We've also won a lot of games with him, and he's given us a lot of production in those games. So it's just, you know, having another player, just like having another, you know, another receiver or another tight end or another, you know, it's hard to rotate. I mean, you can play multiple linemen, but, you know, in the end, you can only get five in there at the same time, basically. You know, the other positions, you know, we've played some two-back sets with Deion in there with another back, whether it be Devlin or James White. So, I mean, that's just another, you know, it's another thing the defense has to deal with. He's certainly a different type of runner than LeGarrette as an inside runner, as you pointed out. So it's the same plays, but they're not really the same. He's got a guy carrying the ball that's, you know, LeGarrette's got his style of running and Deion's got his style of running. It's definitely not the same, so. It's great to have him. I mean, he's been a very productive player for us. So the more of him you have, you know, I think the better off we are.
Thank you.
Okay. Keep working on Houston. Yeah. Keep grinding. All right.